I'm Michelle O'Brien with the Ketchikan Chamber, and every election season we bring a round of candidate forums to you. We're joined today by our borough candidates, and we do have a couple of folks from the field. There are five people running for two seats, each of which have a three-year term. Two of those candidates are unable to join us due to medical emergencies that just happened earlier this morning. Jason Button is unable to join us, and Carlos Weimer as well. So we certainly send our best to them as they deal with their medical emergencies. The format will go as follows. For the candidates, we ask that you do keep your camera on all the time. So I'll be timing, and what you'll see for the candidates, Jamie, Darlene, and Grant, you will see me, as I said before, raising my hand here. And if for some reason I feel like you didn't see that, you might see me kind of waving like that. So decidedly more casual than the in-person event, but we did have a nice discussion with the school board candidates. With that being said, the questions today have been submitted by members of the community, and we will start with an opening statement for which each candidate will have 3 minutes. Now, Jason has asked me for his 3 minutes. I'll actually time myself on this one to read his statement that he had in Sit News. So I'll go ahead, and this will be the only time that he has anything to offer during this forum because he doesn't know the questions. So this is what he says for his opening statement. My name is Jason Button, and I'm running for a seat with the Borough Assembly. My family and I chose to make Ketchikan our home 4 years ago. I accepted a position with Tongass Federal Credit Union as the business loan manager and was recently promoted to assistant vice president of business lending. I was fortunate to get involved with a Greater Ketchikan Chamber.
Recording in progress.
I'm currently serving as the treasurer for the board. I'm also honored to serve as the treasurer and executive board member of the Southern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association, as well as the board for the Southern Southeast Alaska Building Association. My wife and I have been married for 22 years, and I'm a father of four with two kids and still attending Ketchikan schools. I've had the advantage of working as a small business lender and have enjoyed getting to know numerous small business owners across multiple towns in Southeast Alaska. In my time learning about the different careers prominent in Southeast Alaska, it has helped me become familiar with the needs of many business owners and people throughout our community. And I've enjoyed getting to know what issues they're currently having and what their future goals look like. As I spend time serving this wonderful community, I have learned how to listen and to respect all differing points of view and to see that every person has experiences in life that has shaped each individual perspective. My life has shaped my experiences and my own views as well, but it's vital to always respect and listen to the differing views of others. I've learned that our differences can ultimately make us stronger if we let it. I believe in promoting a fiscally sound government at all levels, meaning each section of the government should spend within its budget as much as possible. I also believe the people of Ketchikan, and I believe that they can make the best choice for themselves and their families with minimal government interference and should have the freedom to do so. I'm in favor of individual freedom, responsibility, and mutual respect. A vote for me is a vote for someone who will listen to you, even if I don't agree. So there you go. And that is his statement. And I'm just going to reset this right here. And we'll open up with Darlene D. Svensson. Oh, and here's the opening statement, by the way. I apologize because I couldn't give him the question. So here's your question, and I'll give you a couple seconds to think about it. Please tell us who you are and why you're interested in serving on the Borough Assembly. Additionally, please tell us about any non-professional organizations in which you've served the community.
Well, I'm Darlene D. Svensson. The D stands for Dolomont, and it's a really big name, so we just abbreviate it. We'll start there. I moved to Ketchikan in February 2012, because of a guy. What can I tell you? And he is a born resident, actually second generation, and there are four generations in his family. As an immigrant, and I was an immigrant with a green card, you're not allowed to participate in Ketchikan. So my first attention to your question is, there are no boards that I have actively participated on during my residency and home in Ketchikan. As a green card holder, you are stipulated that you are not allowed to be involved in any of those things until you become a citizen. Next step, I became a citizen on January 22nd of this year. It actually took 11 years and probably close to $14,000 to become a citizen. So, as I'm 9 months into being an American, I want to help Ketchikan. It's my home. There are lots of things that need to be done. And I think that I'm qualified to handle the decisions with the people. Thank you.
Great, thank you so much. And next up, we'll have Grant Echohawk.
My name is Grant Echohawk, and I was actually born here in Alaska in Fairbanks. I was raised in Metlakatla, and as a child, I actually went to White Cliff Elementary School when White Cliff was still there. But shortly thereafter, my family moved down south, and that's where I developed and was able to create a lucrative career in wireless communications, working for some of the largest corporations in the country. When I decided to leave that environment and come back to what I call my home, that was 3 years ago, and my goal was to take my skills, my knowledge, and my experience that I learned in these in the in the private sector, in these large businesses, and apply it to the community. And so what I've done is since then, since I've returned, is I first my first volunteered as a DJ for KRBD, and then from there I joined the board because I really enjoyed the services and the community involvement that our private our local radio station offers, and I'm now the board president for KRBD. I also recently joined the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition, and really excited about the tremendous work that the Wellness Coalition is doing. And I also serve as on two committees for the Ketchikan Area Arts and Humanities Council, one for their program development committee and one a committee focusing on diversity and inclusion. And then on the professional side, I the first thing I did is I took my skills and brought it to Tongass Federal Credit Union as a regional manager. While I was there, opened up a new contact center to better serve the members, and as well expanded our services to underserved communities, including Heidelberg, Hoonah, and Cake. So we're able to provide those financial services that were very much lacking in some of these communities. And then really now I'm working for Wish. I'm a project manager for a new to open up a new facility that involves me coordinating with local, state, and national agencies and entities to create a new facility here in town to serve child victims of any type of harm or neglect. I'm about 6 months into this project, looking to have it wrapped up in about 2 more years. So ultimately, I'm running for office. I'm running for the borough assembly because I do have this skill set. Project management, business management. Plus, I'm also very passionate about uplifting my community, working with as many people as I need to do it, and ensuring that not only are we prosperous today, but our children are prosperous tomorrow, and we can have a community that is well positioned for the future. Thank you.
Great, thank you so much. And next up, Jamie Palmer.
Thank you, Michelle, and thank you for hosting today. It's great to be amongst all the friends with the chamber. My name is Jamie Palmer, and I first moved to Ketchikan in 2009 to accept a position with Allan Marine Tours as a seasonal worker. Started as a dock rep, and now I'm their division manager, a decade later, which is pretty neat. I love the fact that we've continued that kind of progression here in the organization I work for. So it's always great to foster new leaders and help build up community members and keep seasonal workers that are good and want to live here. I also own the Captain's Lady on Creek Street, and the Ketchikan Candle Company is also my business. I'm a mom of two, and I've said on the last forum, everything I do is with the intention of their future in mind and what it means for this community at large. Every decision we make affects the future generations. And so that's why I want to be at the table. My involvement in the community is pretty diverse. So I sat on the Wish board for 6 years and just cycled off last February. We went through a lot of turmoil during that time of the business side having some issues, and now the program is strong. There's a wonderful leader at the helm, and she's phenomenal and bringing in even more money and activity to the community to build up the shelter. We have transitional housing, all sorts of good things happening over there. So as I ended my time there, I knew I was leaving with Wish in a good spot. They are actually actively seeking bricks as a fundraiser. So if anybody wants to buy a brick, put your name on it. Chamber members, get out there. I also have served the community on the Borough Economic Recovery Group Task Force, the Safeguard Ketchikan Community Task Force at the onset of COVID. Gosh, I've sat on so many committees over the last little bit. It's hard to name them all, but I've sat with most of you at different tables throughout this. So I love to collaborate. Happy to reach across the aisle and work with folks with varying opinions and have no problem building relationships and working together. So if you choose to elect me, the bulk of you know what my style is like as far as getting work done and rolling up my sleeves, and I would love to do that for the community.
Great, thank you so much. So we'll do a revolving person who starts. So this question, we'll be starting with Grant Echohawk. And the question you'll have 2 minutes for. And the question is, what borough powers should be improved upon and why?
Well, I think that the borough having economic development powers is a really pivotal aspect of our community. You know, as far as expanding it, it really depends on, you know, anything that's expanded or improved upon really does need to take the community to get involved to talk about that. But I do believe that that aspect of the borough, having the financial aspect, having the economic development to support businesses, support new industries, to collaborate with the different entities, that includes the city, that includes KIC, that includes, you know, the Ward Cove, Saxman, basically getting everybody involved into a single conversation to talk about, okay, what is the future of our community? What is it? What do we want it to look like? What resources do we have throughout the community? Not just within the actual, you know, the borough mainframe, but throughout the entire community, and then leverage that. So I'd say that aspect is absolutely critical, and that is where the borough, I think, can really do the most good for the long-term prosperity of our community. And so, but as far as improving upon that really, I think that the staff at the borough is doing a fantastic job, and I had an opportunity to sit down with several members of the leadership of the, you know, with legal and finance and planning, and you know, clearly, in the city manager, clearly very passionate about helping out the community, very knowledgeable. So, you know, just really at the borough level, make sure they have everything that they need. And then as a community, make sure we have this conversation to make sure there's a clear vision to move us forward.
Thank you. And before we move on to Jamie Palmer, for those that just entered the room, if you see my hands up there clapping, that is not me clapping at the candidates' answers. That's me letting them know that they have half of their time left or that they're done. I just wanted to make sure and clarify that. So Jamie, you're up next.
So which economic powers or which borough powers can we improve upon? That's the question. So I think there's several different things that we could certainly expand on or always improve upon. I mean, that's our goal always as individuals and as a business. You always want to improve upon everything you're doing and continue to build up for the future. So I think the economic development side of the power, certainly there's room for growth there, and there should always be bigger picture planning involved. And so working to bring back the economic development fund, and what that looks like, I'm not sure. Whenever I dug into the borough code, there's a section where it was repealed by an ordinance. So I was going to dig into that a little more over time and see what happened there. But that's one section that for sure we do need to foster and build up and work on planning and our economic development powers, with maybe tying in again, looking at our connection to Prince Rupert and what does that look like for expanding exporting and trade relations that way. You know, what's happening with Gravina, the access over there, we need to think about it. There's also different code enforcement things that I would say we need to improve upon as well. I know people have been concerned about when you walk on the docks, people not picking up after their dogs, and how can that be enforced? I don't know, but that's something that staff could certainly look into, more signage, more code enforcement. So I guess the little hands up, so I better stop and move on.
Yeah, that was actually only the halfway point. So the hand, I'm learning the hand stays up there for a little while. So, okay, so moving on, you're up, Darlene.
Hi, okay. This is actually the very first time I've ever Zoomed in my life. I don't agree with the principle of people in my home. So I'll just say that first. So pardon me for making mistakes. I do need you to repeat the question, please. No, I cannot hear you. You are muted.
Hey, I thought this was your first Zoom meeting. No,
I saw it.
You're getting pretty good.
And told me.
Okay, so here's the question again. What borough powers should be improved upon and why?
What borough powers should be improved upon? The borough as a second-class borough has a great amount of power within us already. So I actually don't believe we need any more power or should have. That isn't the designation of our borough. What I do believe, however, is that the powers that the borough do have should be looked upon as very important, and the borough assembly and members and all people involved need to start stepping out of their own way and allowing the residents and the citizens of the borough to expand their business opportunities, to have more entrepreneurs. So at this point, I do not necessarily believe the borough needs any more power. I just think they need to learn how to manage the power that they already have. Thank you.
Okay, great. And I didn't even have to do the hands up sign for you. Okay, moving on to the next question, still staying with the 2-minute time limit. This time we'll start with you, Jamie. The question is somewhat lengthy, so I'll repeat it twice. One of the items listed in the borough's strategic plan is support and increase private property ownership and support entrepreneurial efforts to utilize borough-owned land. In the plan, one of the outcomes is listed is developing a plan to rezone and sell borough lands by 2025. Do you favor this timeline? And if not, what would you do to change this plan or this outcome? Would you like for me to read it again?
No, I've got it. I think that's a fine plan, because right now we're going to be in catch-up mode from COVID losses for a while. And it's going to take a minute for it to shake out as far as budget side goes. And so I think it's wonderful that the plan is in action and the staff is actively working behind the scenes on the strategic plan. And as policymakers, we don't need to go in and change what they're already actively doing. If there is a target date, I'm all for it. Let's help them continue to add money to the budget and see how it's going to change, because, you know, the budget side of things was built with a lot of assumptions of no cruise ship revenue, COVID sales tax losses, all kinds of things. And so I think we have to be careful in jumping in and saying, as a new assembly member, we're going to go and change anything that the staff is currently doing. And I certainly support the efforts to obtain borough lands, figure out which ones that they do want to release for economic development. And hopefully we can foster new businesses and growth in existing businesses to expand and further their community development here. Hopefully we can build out and do exporting from Ketchikan. Wouldn't that be magical? So I think there's so much growth that's going to happen, but the target date of 2025 seems pretty fair with what we're dealing with right now.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll move on to Darlene. Darlene, would you like for me to repeat the question? Okay, one of the items listed in the borough's strategic plan is support and increase private property ownership and support entrepreneurial efforts to utilize borough-owned land. In the plan, one of the outcomes listed is developing a plan to rezone and sell borough lands by 2025. Do you favor this timeline? And if not, what would you do to change this plan or its outcome?
Yes, and yes, and that's pretty simple. Yes, I absolutely agree in releasing lands. Where I think there are a lot of different places around the island as I've traveled and looked and on the other islands that are available. 2025 to have them released 4 more years from now, I think that could be expedited upon. If 2025 is the date for homes being built on them and all the red tape and government stuff is completed, then that's an acceptable timeline. But again, I ask, why is it going to take 4 more years from today just to have lands released? And then it's going to take 1 to 5 more years after that for residential buildings. So that we're looking at now, not an acceptable timeline. So that's 5 to 7 years? If I'm not mistaken, we're in a serious need of 50 homes in the next 12 months. These timelines aren't really accommodating the very urgent need we have now. I do believe that things can happen quicker. And I've built multiple homes and been project manager for multiple homes around Ketchikan. Is that done or half?
Half.
Thanks. And I do know, doing your due diligence and paying attention to the details, you can get things done quicker. Pre-planning. So I agree we need to do all of this, but I do agree we could be able to get those lands released and rezoned quicker. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. And as a reminder to the candidates and the audience, and I really appreciate you guys working with us on this Zoom format. I'll put my clapping hand up when you're halfway through the time, and then I'll do it again at the very end. So Grant, you're up next.
Sure, thank you. Well, you know, first of all, yes, I think that timeline is reasonable. I appreciate the staff of the borough working so diligently to find solutions. You know, there are legitimate barriers that they are facing. And as I mentioned in the last forum, if this was an easy fix, it would have been resolved by now. But there are state statutes and local statutes that have to be considered, as well as the primary challenge is for getting us the development that we need is the cost of it. It is very expensive to take undeveloped land, you know, pull out what's there, fill in what is needed, connect everything, and then build the homes. All of that extra cost is then passed on to whoever's going to buy these structures. So the cost variable is really impactful on this. I'm really excited by the conversation that was presented on the September 7th planning report. That outline a couple of different ideas that are currently being vetted, a potential tax abatement option, which incentivizes developers to be able to get in there and take a look, you know, try to get in there and develop this land at less cost to them, which in general would mean less cost passed on to the consumer. You know, I think that the timeline and the plan within the strategic plan is completely reasonable, and I think that the conversations happening right now are putting us on the right track. And so this is a conversation we're going to continue to follow, continue to vet it, make sure that there's no unintended consequences in anything that we want to try. but we're definitely on the right track. And I actually applaud the creative measures that the staff is working on to try to resolve this, because it is a critical need, and we do need to find some creative ways to get this resolved. Thank you.
All right, great. Thank you very much. For this next question, we'll start with you, Darlene. And the question is, what would you do to address the potential economic shortfalls if there's an abbreviated or greatly reduced cruise ship season in 2022? What areas would you address in the borough?
What areas would I address in the borough? No cruise ship season yet again. Aren't these things that are relevant right now? I mean, do we really know there's going to be a cruise ship season next year? We don't. We are all estimating that, correct? Tourism. Unfortunately, we are a lot of eggs. We have a lot of eggs in the tourism basket. And what do we see? Do we have enough people to make a large corporation? No. Do we bring in Coast Guard? We are. It's fantastic, but we've got a problem with that in the same. We've got ourselves in quite a conundrum, actually. Do I have all the answers? No. No. Do I know bring in small, more businesses? Small business is the backbone of Ketchikan. But if they don't have revenue, how are they going to stay? So it's a circle question as far as I'm concerned, because that's where we are in our society. To put a whole lot of information into a hypothetical in cruise ships is talking to air. I'm sorry, I don't. Yeah, thank you. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll move on to Grant next.
Sure, thank you. Well, you know, I think that if there's anything that we would have learned over the last year and a half or so, is that we probably should prepare for the worst case scenario. And the good news is that we have lots of really fantastic things happening within our community. I'm just absolutely thrilled by our community gardens. I'm thrilled by the farmers markets. These are new things that are popping up that are generating local revenue, that's staying within our community, that's helping smaller businesses. And any time that we can keep money within the community, it multiplies several times as it travels around. And I think that this is absolutely a step in the right direction. I'm also absolutely thrilled by the municipal asset of the fiber optic line that's coming into our community. You know, that will not only help us diversify the employment options that we have, of course, it will add the ability for more remote workers, but as well, entire new technology-based industries that could really put the entire Ketchikan community on the cutting edge of new types of everything from coding to web design, video production. We have a tremendous asset running into this island that is truly world-class. If you know anything about synchronous transmission between, you know, upload and download speeds, the fact that it is the same for us is a tremendous asset. Tapping into that not only helps our create new industries, helps our existing businesses create new products and services, not only for us as residents, but also for the tourists that do come in, that we can offer now by leveraging this resource even more, a greater experience for the folks that do come and visit our community. So I say, you know, plan for the worst, but we have so many great things going on right now to lead us into a prosperous future.
Great, thank you very much. Jamie Palmer?
Will you repeat the question, Michelle?
Sure. What would you do to address the potential economic shortfalls if there is an abbreviated or greatly reduced cruise ship season in 2022? What areas would you address in the borough?
Well, I think the biggest thing that's of note is that the borough already does a wonderful job of being very conservative in the budgeting process. And so that's one thing that the assembly will have to carry on moving forward, just to be careful, because we know that depending on which administrations are in power, things change and shift. And so it's just the smart thing to do for our community. As far as a shorter cruise ship season, you know, if you look at the Cruise Line Agency's calendar that's posted right now online, it's really robust. Will it stay that way? Who knows? Depends on what's happening around the globe, really, because it is a global industry. When we speak to our cruise line partners, they're really excited and hopeful about Alaska, actually, because Alaska has already proven that we can have a cruise ship season and not have a crazy amount of COVID coming in on those ships. And so it's been a really good and successful relationship. So I'm pretty hopeful about having a season. And even if we end up with a shorter, you know, not so many ships, but if we expanded that for the 5 months, that's wonderful. But I would still say that we need to work conservatively in the budgeting process. But also, we haven't seen the quarter three sales tax returns yet. So we don't even know what the hotel taxes brought in and everything else from independent travelers and the fishing lodges doing well. So that's a really hard question to think about. But I would say maintaining that conservative budgeting moving forward is the best thing to do for now. And that's it.
Alrighty. And this question, we will start with Grant. Regarding education, do you feel that our schools are properly funded, underfunded, or overfunded? And why?
Sure, thank you. Well, I think that when it comes to investing in our future, investing in the children, that that's something we really want to prioritize. So I think that I do have relationships with several educators here in the community, and they're doing a great job, and I think that we have some really fantastic programs for our youth. But I would always like to see more. I would always like to see a very robust, let's say, very robust music programs, very robust sporting programs, very robust computer science programs. UAS has a fantastic workforce development program that partners with the high school to get the children credit on both the high school and the college. I mean, these are the types of things that are absolutely vital. And even, you know, with that UAS program, you know, the budget cuts that came down from the state really had a dramatic impact on their budget, which can reduce the amount of flexibility with our youth. So when it comes to investing in the future of Ketchikan, I believe that starts with our school system. Obviously, that is a matter of, well, the money has to come from somewhere. The revenue has to come from somewhere. And that is why a strong, well-realized economic strategy for the future that leverages small businesses, that leverages growth, that leverages the tourism industry, and it leverages resources. Again, I'm going to go back to that fiber optic internet is really a valuable asset. And so when we can leverage all of these things to maximum capability, then that's going to generate additional revenue. And I would like to see as much as we can given to the future of not only of our community, but the future of our country, which starts with these children. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Jamie Palmer.
Well, I think the fact that 100% of our property tax goes to the local education fund is important to note. And as we build out more housing developments, that's just going to increase the funding at the local level. I think there could be other means of supporting the schools for sure. I know at Allen Marine, I got the Oceans Sciences course or club reached out with a fundraiser because they're not a sanctioned activities program. And so they're looking for $23,000 to fund their program. And so maybe there could be another way to fund activities that aren't sanctioned by the Alaska Schools Activities Association. I don't know what else falls within that, if it's the debate teams and other, you know, things like that, or how it falls. I think we could have a boosters program here, though. Certainly that's missing. But there are ways that we could think about supporting the activities of the children and making sure if they want to do something, the funding's available. And if there's a new club that comes up, let's make sure we support them in the interest of the kids that are here now, because this Ocean Sciences Club seems really great. And maybe these kids are going to be the ones who tackle mariculture or tidal energy. Who knows? But I'd certainly love to support them and help find the funding for that as well.
Okay, thank you very much. And Darlene.
Okay, schools. My children are 44 and 45 years old. My youngest grandchild is 15 years old. As far as a borough assembly member and the school, I realize I actually have absolutely no say in the school board budget. None of us do. The budget is preset. So what I can offer with respect to the school board budget is it is the single most expensive and important item that the borough deals with. In saying that, I must say I agree with Jamie. I believe there are many other ways to raise funds to support our children within the activities that they want to. And speaking to many, many parents over the last 20 days, they agree the same. In as much as would I do anything for the school board, I have no idea what I would do, but I will promise to read the budget in its totality, analyze it and consider it, and offer my very best moving forward for our children. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to the next question. And this one, we will start with Jamie Palmer. The question is this: since your constituents will represent the population island-wide with diverse views and opinions, how do you best see yourself serving them? And how do you deal with people who might have vastly different opinions than yours?
I say, bring it on. I collaborate well with people of all kinds of opinions and ideas. And, you know, that's part of living in a community, right? We have neighbors who might wave a different flag politically than we do at our home. But at the end of the day, you go ask for an egg or some butter and you keep living. I think that it's important, as anybody on a policy body like the assembly, that we just act as humans and neighbors and do the best thing that we can for the island at large. I don't care what anybody has as their personal political motivations or I don't know. I just look at the person side of it and what is the actual need, because grumpy people usually come to you if there is a complaint that they are passionate about. So it's best to lean in and listen and then try to get to the scope of what is really the problem and work on it. If we have the powers to do it, if we don't, let's point them in the right direction. And that's the best we can do.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And the next person up, that'll be right back to you, Darlene.
Unmute. So again, I'd like you to repeat the question.
Sure, sorry, got a million buttons going on here. Okay, the question is this: since your constituents will represent the population island-wide with diverse views and opinions, how do you best see yourself serving them? And how do you deal with people who might have vastly different opinions than yours?
Well, I guess the first thing I would say is I will respect the will of the people. It's not about my personal anything. It's about respecting the people that we stand up for. And with respect to the borough, we are going to make decisions on many, many different subjects. And to make an informed decision, it takes a lot of listening. It takes reading. It begins with the initial action item, studying it, acquiring the working knowledge of it. I imagine you would then present it to the borough, listen to more feedback from the people. And of course, I'm very due diligent in doing my research also, so that would come into it. If I come up with concerns, I imagine I would work with my team. I always have in the past. I've been a professional racquetball player in my youth, so I'm very much used to team playing. I would have to say I'll absolutely listen very closely to the citizens and updates from staff, then mull and consider. My touchdown poll vote would be what would be best for the citizens and what would be best for the long-term health of our municipality and Ketchikan. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And on to you, Grant.
Yeah, I think this is an absolutely critical and valid, you know, important question, because we have seen, you know, some fracturing locally, nationwide, and finding a way to come together for a common goal is absolutely critical. And the, you know, at the end of the day, every elected official does work for the people, and the people expect us to do a job. The people expect us to adhere to the Constitution, adhere to any statutes that we are under the umbrella of, and move us in the right direction that is going to be prosperous for, again, for today and tomorrow. So the easiest way that I see doing that is with the, you know, when it comes to business project management, as I mentioned during the introduction, the project that I'm working on now involves local entities, state entities, and national entities. And we have a single goal. We know what we want to accomplish. We have to determine what our resources are, take a look at all of the facts, and decide on a course of action to help us reach our goal. Nowhere within that conversation is there any consideration about where we might all sit on our different, you know, any ideological or political views. It's just a matter of us coming together, establishing what it is that we want to accomplish, what resources do we have, and how do we get there. And I think that adhering to that very simple principle that applies in business and project management easily applies to as a public employee, and making sure that we are giving our bosses, the people of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, taking what they would like to see accomplished, finding solutions and getting it done for them. Of course, we're never going to agree 100% on all things, but that is one of the great benefits of having a representative democracy like this, where we have multiple people at the table, multiple people talking about what is the best course of action, and then us all deciding on that course. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And moving on, this time we'll start with Darlene. Are you in favor of further development on Gravina? And if so, what would be your vision for future development?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. For 10 years, I've been in agreeance with future development on Gravina. What? I see an endless availability of things to happen on Gravina. I would really like to see a single level seniors veterans home. To me, it's only logical that we put it over there because the jets are all right there. Their emergency evacuation is right there. Single level, the Gravina Island is somewhat set up for that. Young people, I've taken ideas around as I've been campaigning to young people. There are many, many 20 to 30 year olds that would die to live over on Gravina, given a economical ability to do it, and not our $500,000 homes and not all the rest, more affordable housing. And there are multiple different protocols set up in the United States that we here in Ketchikan could adopt and join and be a pioneer. So yes, I can hardly wait to see Gravina become a whole community.
Great, thank you very much. And Grant, we'll move on to you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, when it comes to developing Gravina or really any other, what we're talking about, regardless of what where we're going to consider developing, is we're talking about taking out, you know, the trees and developing it for structures of some kind. Now, I'm not opposed to any of that. We absolutely need it. I would just add on that what I'd really be excited to see with any kind of development is that one of the reasons why we all probably live here in Alaska, certainly Southern Southeast Alaska, is that it is a very beautiful place to live. And we get to enjoy that beauty every single day. We are surrounded by it. And you know, that is one of the things that draws our tourist industry is the fact that it is so beautiful here. So when it comes to any type of development, what I would be really, really interested in is the most high efficiency development that is available that is going to keep costs down in energy consumption, water consumption, anything that is going to not only that is going to give folks a place to live and a place to work, but also in a way that is as sustainable as possible. So it complements the beauty of our region. So any type of development that is needed, again, no matter where it is, it is absolutely needed. We do have to do it, but I would really be an advocate for looking into ways to make it as efficient as possible, as sustainable as possible. So it's something that can be easily maintained with a minimal amount of cost, minimal amount of consumption of energy and water for generations to come.
All right, thank you very much. Moving on to you, Jamie.
Will you repeat the question?
Sure. The question is, are you in favor of further development on Gravina? And if so, what would be your vision for future development?
Okay, thank you. Yes, absolutely. I think Gravina's where it's at, right? We look across there all the time and know that there's beautiful roads that have been built out. The borough has land, I believe, north of the airport that's flat and would be great that people could access easily. I think some of the challenges that could happen over there, though, with that is we have to work collaboratively with the city of Ketchikan and with tying in utilities. That's going to be important and probably expensive, but I think we could figure that out together at the table. There's opportunities for all sorts of things over there. Of course, I'd love to see some industry so we can maybe export items processed from kelp, you know, because I mean, kelp is in everything, or seaweed is in everything as far as ice creams or shampoos. Kelp is everywhere. So I think there's a way to use our mariculture growth operators to then take to a processor and potentially export out of here by using lands on Gravina. Certainly homes and access for housing, but then that creates the need for a marina over there of some sort and boats going back and forth or allowing for transportation. So we may need another ferry if we do that. That's just used for residents going home or to and from work in that aspect and not necessarily to and from the airport. So I'm all for expansion and all for coming to the table and helping with future strategic planning on that. And hope to be at the table for that.
Great, thank you very much. Each of the candidate forums, we like to throw in what we call a quick hit question. This is a question that you will have 1 minute to answer, and it is designed to be decidedly different from any of the other questions that we've asked. And the question is, tell us, and I'm gonna give you a couple of the previous answers because I've been doing this for a year or two now. Tell us one thing about yourself that people might not know. Now, some of the other candidates have answered very shockingly and surprisingly and amusingly so. Well, you didn't know I used to be a skydiver. You didn't know, I mean, there were some really interesting things. I seem to remember Judith McQuarrie last year had the most interesting thing that she said. If you see her around town, you'll have to ask her. So for this one, Grant, you are up first. 1 minute.
Yeah, well, probably one thing that most folks don't know about me is when I was 18, I worked for the Alaska Department of Forestry as a firefighter, a cleanup crew on forest fires. So they would fly us out via helicopter after the fire was actually out, and then I would be part of the crew. We sometimes spend 2 to 3 weeks out there just making sure that the fire was completely out. One time while I was out there, just a series of unfortunate events, I got lost in interior Alaska, and had to ensure that I remember telling myself, don't panic, because if you panic, you're going to be in serious trouble. So I had to keep my wits about me. And after a little bit of time, did finally manage to make myself where I needed to be. But it was certainly a terrifying experience in the moment.
Wow, thank you. Okay, Jamie, you're up.
So I love this question, and I love to share this answer always, that I am an undefeated college tennis player. But I'll keep going because I only played 3 matches and I won all of those.
That's great. Who knew? Okay, we will. I'll try to not meet you on the tennis court. All right, Darlene, you're up next.
This is a fun question, isn't it? Now, I just have to offer that there are so many crazy things that I have done in my life. I could go on with stories because stories is what my life is about. I think the most fun story could be a skydiving story that I ended up 7 miles away from. One of my financial managers was my jump master, and he knew how bad I wanted to fly. So he actually put me, after my 6 weeks of skydive training, in an oversized parachute, thinking, oh, she'll get to fly. Oh boy, did I get to fly. Once I got down that hill, a great big 10 mile an hour, wind came and took that monster parachute. It was 7 miles later, in a farmer's field that had just completely planted his crop. And there am I with this parachute going, oh Lord, I hope this guy doesn't shoot me.
Well, okay, that was a great answer too. These are all great answers. In fact, I was listening so intently, Darlene, that I didn't give you the halfway side, but you made it right under the 1 minute mark. Okay, as we wind down our time together today, and I really want to thank everyone who joined us, everyone who will be ultimately watching on KPU TV, as well as our candidates. As a reminder, we did have 2 candidates who had medical emergencies today, and so Carlos Weimer and Jason Button were unable to join us. But with that being said, the last question that we have, and you'll have 2 minutes for this question, we'll start with Jamie Palmer. Please, in closing, share with us what makes you different from the other candidates that are running.
Big question. I think the thing that sets me apart from the other candidates is that I've been active in this community on multiple boards, collaborating across the table for years. And anybody who knows me knows that I'm willing to work hard and I'm mission driven and get things done. And that's it.
All right, that works for me. A solid 27.63 seconds. Good job.
To the point.
All right, moving on to Darlene.
Can you hear me? What makes me different than any of the other candidates running? Basically nothing. I'm human, they're human, we're male and we're female. But what I get to bring to the table is 30 plus years of financial and business background experience. I have been reading budgets, analyzing budgets, doing business proposals, building huge communities in my life. So everything in my past life has actually set me up for this position. Did I know that? Absolutely not. But in looking at what the Borough Assembly does for our community, I say that all of these years of business and financial experience in not only one but 2 countries offers a very different and broad point of view that being just local does not offer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And finally, Grant.
Sure, thank you. So I do come with quite a bit of business knowledge and project management knowledge that, as I mentioned earlier, really was formed in the large corporate environment. But what that created is whenever you work in an environment where you have strict goals and revenue expectations and need to ensure that you develop leaders to help run your businesses, is the ability to adapt quickly to whatever's going on. And when I was 17 years with my last company, that's a pretty long time for any large entity to stay employed. And I was able to do it and be successful at it because no matter what was thrown at me, I was able to adapt to it and then lead my team to wherever we needed to go. So the ability to take information, identify what my resources are, collaborate with whoever I need to collaborate with, develop a vision that can bring, develop a collective vision that we can all kind of move towards, is something that I've developed over 20 years of doing this, and also not only taking it in business but also applying that to community organizations like the nonprofits, of finding a way to take what we have, take what we want to accomplish, and then move forward to whatever the goal is that we want to accomplish. And that's really what with your vote, what I'll bring to the Borough Assembly. Thank you.
All righty. And thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you to the candidates for your willingness to serve our community. So that'll do it for today. Thank you so very much, and have a great rest of your week.